The Difference with Dogs by Claire Culliford. A sound, much like an early bird chirping on a beautiful spring morning, wove its way through the gap between window and frame and over to her ears. Behind closed eyes, this new addition joined the melody played by feathered friends joyfully celebrating another dawn. Dawn. Morning. Oh no! Cilantra's shut lids sprang open as she simultaneously sat up, threw back her wool blanket, and swung her legs over the edge of the bed. The heated, recycled wood floor felt soft and welcoming underfoot. She moved her feet around until they made contact with her pumps and slipped them on. Running over to the window, she pushed it further open and leaned out. She waved across at the sleek vehicle hovering not far from her. "I'll be literally 10 minutes," she promised, before turning around and skipping to the bathroom. As she sat on the windowsill, getting ready to make the short leap, the vehicle drew in a little closer. Hop! She slid her legs in through the open space at the top of the door and landed skillfully on the silky cushioned seat. "Ready!" "What kept you?" asked Joseph, her father. "My dreams," she giggled. "Dreams. Always dreams," he laughed. "I'd love to live in your world."
"You should," Cilantra smiled. "It's fabulous."
The vehicle pulled away on a current of warm air, swerved swiftly out into the travel path, and then settled itself in for the journey. Cilantra looked over her shoulder at the bright white of the buildings slowly disappearing in the distance. The sun reflected off it, making it look like a beautiful, clean, blank canvas. The leaves of the bushes all around it glinted and glistened with dew. Looking back out through the passenger window, the few pristine trees on the boulevard passed them by, and then they were out in open countryside. Cilantra watched the sun slowly rise higher and higher from behind the hills in the distance. The sky seemed rainbow-like as it did, turning from lilac through copper to gold. In the distance, through the windscreen, the outline of the city could be seen as they made their way towards it. Verdant, lush, and almost the fluffy cloud shape of a thought bubble on the horizon. Dotted with shades of lighter green around the edge and at the bottom, the centre appeared mostly white, with splashes of silver, pink, violet and amber. Every vehicle was travelling at exactly the same speed, for fairness and to avoid any collisions. Cilantra and her father hovered through the circumference of the sphere of trees and greenery encircling the city in the same 20 minutes as always.
"Are you excited?" asked Joseph.
"Who, me?"
asked Cilantra, trying to look nonchalant.
"No, just another Saturday in the city."
"Oh." Her father looked surprised. They hovered on a few hundred metres in silence. Cilantra whipped her head around to face Joseph.
"Just joking. Got you."
Her father couldn't help but chuckle loudly. He should have known to expect this by now. She had just turned 13 after all.
"I can't wait," Cilantra continued. "It is going to be so cool to finally have a pet."
As they cruised down avenues lined with tropical trees, plants, and miniature waterfalls, Cilantra and her father breathed in the scents surrounding them. The city always provided that extra breath of fresh air. Air which slipped in through the windows and wrapped them up in its fragrant, oxygen light embrace. The muscles in their bodies relaxed so much that it felt as though they had just spent an hour doing a series of upward and downward dogs. Such calm. As they approached the start of a large lake, their travel path veered right.
They followed it, noticing a number of tiny floating craft on the water. It was still only early. Later, there would be the usual collection of ornate boats making their way peacefully around the lake. They skirted the perimeter of the huge body of water, admiring the colourful collection of flowers that were always in bud or bloom. It was those which gave the city its splashes of colour from a distance. Indigo, jade, rose, buttermilk, and azure. "Okay, it's just over here." Joseph pressed a button in front of him and the vehicle turned right. Its nose then slowly dipped, angling downwards. It descended smoothly until it landed softly on the ground beside a few other vehicles that looked remarkably similar. Cilantro and her father slid the doors open and stepped out. Cilantro stretched her arms up above her head, the stretch she hadn't managed to fit in whilst rushing to get washed and dressed. Both she and Joseph took in a deep breath of pure, clean air. It felt so revitalising. The lush floor of the city felt bouncy underfoot. Not the thick grass on its surface, but the actual earth in which it was seeded. It was like a brand new mattress, full of spring. Cilantro did a couple of jumps, just to test it out. She shrieked with happiness. Joseph laughed. "Come on," he said. "Our appointment is in 15 minutes. The two of them made their way over to what looked like the entrance to a zoo. A large mural containing animals was visible on the front of a one-story building, above a window with tinted glass. The animals were all domestic ones. There were three people waiting in a line in front of the window. When their turn came, Joseph gave their surname, Fielding, and he and Cilantro walked through a turnstile made out of the lower part of a tree stump and three rotating branches. On the other side of the building, the path split into three. Joseph indicated they were to follow the route with an image of a dog and a cat on the ground at its start. Cilantro cast her eyes over the other two paths as they moved forwards. One contained images of fish and amphibians, and the other small mammals. As they walked side by side along the path, Cilantro looked over her shoulder to see the foot imprint she was making. The path, flaxen in colour, was made out of softly compacted sand. Large bushes along the route felt as if they were leaning in to meet them. Cilantro half expected they would join together behind them as they passed by, closing the path off completely. The bushes whispered softly in the very slight breeze that rustled their leaves and kept the promise of a hot day at bay for just a little longer. After 100 metres or so, they came out of the lush walls and could see a very large area of grass, about half the size of a football field. It was surrounded by a beautifully sculpted, dense hedge about 0.5 metre high. Dogs of all breeds were running freely around, chasing each other and play fighting. Cilantro squealed and ran forwards to watch them. Her father, looking over the hedge, noticed a lady with beautiful long silky grey hair crouching down in the midst of a number of clipboards. They were strewn haphazardly on the ground around her. All of them were shaped like dog's paws. Some of the sheets of paper attached to them were suddenly caught by a waft of breeze. The little wooden clips holding the papers to the boards looked as perilously close to taking flight as the papers themselves. And then the breeze dropped. The papers all fluttered back down to safety. Joseph realised he was holding his breath with anticipation. He let out all of the air accumulated in his lungs with a slow gushing sound through pursed lips. Approaching the grey-haired lady, Joseph coughed politely, and she looked up from what she had been concentrating on.
Joseph Fielding?
Cilantra's father's words were half statement, half inquiry.
Ah, yes, the lady smiled. You're right on time. Just let me get your paperwork.
She worked her way through a number of clipboards before locating the right one. She held it aloft with a flourish.
Do you want to check the information and then we can get underway?
Of course. Joseph took the board, his eyes scanning the attached sheet.
My daughter is just over there. Is it okay if...
Oh, absolutely, the lady replied. Children always get so excited. She'll be quite happy watching them for a minute or two. Cilantra, a few metres behind them both, was transfixed by the activities of the dogs playing in the enclosure. She didn't register both adults looking in her direction for a moment. As he read through the sheet in more detail, Joseph saw that exactly the right notes had been taken from their telephone conversation the previous week. Small breed. Young. 0 to 4 years. Minor known conditions acceptable. Likes being around children. Replacement homing fine if no major behavioural issues. He looked back up at the lady.
This looks just right. May I ask?
Sarah, it was me that spoke to you when you phoned.
That makes sense. Thank you, Sarah.
Shall we see if we can find your daughter what she's after then? Sarah smiled at Joseph and raised her arm in an inviting gesture towards the dogs that Cilantra's eyes were still fixated upon. Joseph nodded enthusiastically in response.
So, Sarah began to explain to both father and daughter, what we do first is head over to that smaller area to the right. I'll call the dogs over by name until we have all of the ones you've been matched with.
Cilantra looked to the right and realised there was a beautiful, brightly coloured wooden gate between the larger and smaller enclosures. She had been staring so intently at all the dogs, she hadn't even noticed. Joseph and Sarah were already beginning to walk around the perimeter hedge towards the smaller enclosure. Cilantra skipped quickly after them to catch up. When they came to the side of the hedge beside the small enclosure, Sarah reached down as if to retrieve something from underneath the outer edge of the hedge. As she stepped back up, Cilantra could see she was holding what looked like a giant zip made of wood, which was about the same size as her hand. She slowly pulled the zip up, and the hedge began to separate into what appeared to be two halves. A gap in the middle emerged, which was large enough for a human to slip through. Cilantra gasped. Sarah pulled the zip along the whole width of the hedge. Then she leant over to push it down the other side. Standing back up, she turned to face them. After you. Joseph, looking only slightly less shocked than Cilantra, made his way side on through the gap, and Cilantra rushed to follow him. Sarah stepped through after them, then reversed the process to zip the hedge back up again. It's safe and it doesn't damage the aesthetic. The gardeners work hard to keep this hedge looking so pretty all year round, she explained with a friendly grin. Once inside, Sarah considered the list on the clipboard she was still carrying before starting to call out, in a very gentle but authoritative voice, the name of each dog on it. Delta, Horace, Wes, Kiki. Four small dogs spread around the large grass area. Each looked up before starting to run over to the gate between the two enclosures. Once they all got there, they waited patiently, panting a little, to be let into the small enclosure. Sarah undid the latch on the gate and in they all padded in a very orderly fashion. Though completely different in appearance, they were clearly all full of character, judging by what Cilantro had seen of them playing. So the way we usually do things is to let the dog spend a bit of time getting to know you. Then the right one picks you, Sara explained, very matter-of-factly. Okay, Joseph thanked her. That sounds great to me. Here, here, Sara called out in a soft, encouraging voice to the dogs. They responded by running over in their own unique style. Delta, a curly-haired Bichon Frise, skipped. Horace, an off-white Scottie, ambled. Wes, a glossy dark Dachshund, almost bounced on all fours. And Kiki, a Shih Tzu, seemed to actually sashay. Cilantro stifled a giggle. Can dogs actually sashay? She wondered. Cilantro and her father sat themselves down on the squashy grass. It felt warm and plush under Cilantro's bare calves. They fussed over the dogs for a few minutes. Without realising it, it was they who were vying for the dog's attention and not vice versa. They tried to ingratiate themselves with tickles and cuddles and knew it was working when the dogs gave their faces a lick in return. Cilantro loved them all. She could imagine taking any one of them home because she knew they would have so much fun. She would quite have liked to take all four, but it had taken her long enough to convince her dad she needed just one dog. Four wouldn't be happening. Okay then, Sara's voice interrupted Cilantro envisaging where the four dogs would fit on her bed. Her dad hadn't actually said no yet. They all seem to like you a lot. How about we let the right one choose you? I'm sure they're as keen to see their new home as you are to show it to them. How do they choose us? Cilantro asked with a little bit of trepidation. She hoped one was going to pick them. You just stand up, wave goodbye, and make your way over to where we came through the hedge. They'll do the rest. Sara's done this before. Let's trust her, Joseph said comfortingly. He stood up and Cilantro followed his lead, both of them making a big show of waving to the dogs to indicate that they were leaving. Then they turned to walk over to the hedge zip opening. Sara leaned into the dogs, whispered something quietly, then followed them. Unzipping the hedge, she guided Joseph and Cilantro back through it, then closed it behind them. But Cilantro didn't understand why they had left the dogs behind. It's okay. Give them just a second, Sara reassured her. They stood looking back at the dogs, which were now all sat down. Wes and Kiki had their heads cocked to one side. Horace seemed to be grinning, and Delta kept flicking her little pink tongue in and out, as if she'd got something caught on the hairs at the side of her mouth and was trying to catch it. The humans waited patiently. The dogs remained as they were. The humans waited a little less patiently. The dogs didn't move an inch. Joseph and Cilantro started to shuffle a little on their feet. Sara stood completely still. As if transported by an instant gust of wind, Delta leapt from where she was sitting right over the hedge. She headed straight towards Cilantro, who opened her arms up instinctively. Catching Delta with an oomph, she took a couple of steps backwards, wobbled a bit, then fell over with the Bichon still held firmly against her. Delta looked up and placed her front paws on Cilantro's shoulders. She flicked her long pink tongue in and out once more, then started to give Cilantro big sloppy licks all over her face. Delta it is then, Sara confirmed. Joseph laughed. Cilantro tried to, but found it hard between the licks. I'll just head back so the other three can join their friends again, Sara said. Won't they be sad? Cilantro asked, concerned that the dogs might feel upset they hadn't got a new home this time.
Not at all. They adore it here, Sara promised. The only reason they leave is if they think they're going to a home that will be full of even more love.
Cilantro felt better once she had heard this, and watched as Sara zipped herself back into the small enclosure. She waved at them, and Joseph shouted, "Thanks so much," back over to her. Cilantro and her father followed the same path in reverse until they passed the dog symbol on the ground at its start. Delta wriggled and writhed in Cilantro's arms the whole way. She also licked Cilantro's face as though it were made from the most deliciously creamy Italian gelato. Big, long licks from the bottom of her chin right up to the very top of her forehead. Joseph walked over to the tinted window under the big sign again. He beckoned to Cilantro to join him.
"Hi, this little cutie, Delta, has picked us. What do we need to do before we take her home?"
The pleasant-looking man with sleek, red, shoulder-length hair, who had previously taken their name, looked at Delta and grinned.
"Oh, wonderful. Well, the first thing is to pop this collar on her."
He produced a beautiful collar with a multitude of colours woven into it. It had a slight sheen and felt extremely soft to the touch. It seemed to be made out of natural grasses, Joseph noticed as he took it from the man. As Cilantro held Delta still for just long enough to enable her father to clip the collar together, the man continued his instructions. "The collar tag has a chip within it. You can, of course, change the collar if you would like to, but this tag needs to go on any new one that you choose."
"It's stunning, Dad," Cilantro said, before turning to the man. "I don't think we'll be wanting to change it for a while."
"Thank you. We try to pick a collar in keeping with each dog's personality, and they're self-cleaning. You just need to pop it in a bowl of water every now and again to reactivate its antibacterial properties. It should last for years."
"Wow." Joseph looked astonished. "The chip in the collar tag lets us monitor your dog continually. We'll track her heart rate and her activity levels every day. And we use the little camera in it to do spot checks, just to ensure her safety and well-being. You can opt for a 20-second warning sound to avoid any intrusion on your own privacy."
"Great. That sounds very thorough," was all Joseph could muster up in response. Cilantro couldn't help giggling at this. "If Delta should decide she isn't happy at any point, then she can let us know. We keep how she does that a secret for obvious reasons. You will then return her to us to find a replacement home. If you can't, don't or won't, a dog guard will be sent to your home to collect her." Joseph nodded in agreement. "Each animal's welfare is naturally our priority. And that's it. We hope you will all have a long and very happy life together." Joseph thanked the man and ushered Cilantro and Delta back towards the vehicle they had left parked just a few metres away on the grass. As they rejoined the travel path for the journey home, Delta sat happily on Cilantro's knee, panting a little owing to the building heat of the day. "There's a little bowl of water with a lid on in the back seat," her father said, pointing behind him. "Delta says a big thanks." Cilantro reached behind her to get it. Lapping up most of the water in the bowl, Delta shook her face vigorously to get rid of the excess water from it.
"And they say dogs don't share," Joseph joked.
They travelled along with the windows down. Delta looked on in awe at the idyllic sights passing them by, as the breeze blew her curly hair back off her face. A wood with trees in every shade from lime to olive. An expanse of low-lying hills full of fields containing brightly coloured flowers. A couple of houses. One painted turquoise, one apricot. When a group of white houses appeared, Delta seemed to sense that she was nearly at her new home. Joseph turned off of the travel path and slowly brought the car down to the ground outside the front door. As the vehicle met the earth below, Delta caught Cilantro unawares and slipped out of her arms. She leapt through the window and onto the grass, running around in a circle and letting out a couple of sweet, high-pitched barks. Her first impression of her new play area was a positive one. I have to go to work for a few hours. When I come back, perhaps we can take her out for a walk, Joseph suggested. Definitely, Cilantro agreed, starting to chase Delta towards a rockery of multicoloured sparkling crystals. Out of the corner of her eye, she caught her mum waving at her from the front window. She was holding up a big bag of dog food. I think she'll have plenty of energy to burn off once she's eaten. See you later. Cilantro waved at her father as he hovered the car above the garden and prepared to rejoin the route to work. The last thing he heard was his daughter shrieking as she rolled across the grass with her new pup in a tangle of paws, legs and tail amidst a lot of very curly hair. Best friends at first sight.